What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Streckbine, joined always by my main men, Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective. Check us out anywhere you get your podcast. The Pittsburgh Steelers got some big news today. Brendan Sorsby not coming to the NFL. What does it mean for them? Is it a surprise to us at all? And the most important players on the Steelers in 2026 and how they impact everything for a team hunting for a Super Bowl. It's a good one here in the Berg. How you feeling, my guys?
Wonderful. How you been? You missed me last week? You missed me?
We did. We had a historic episode, talked backup quarterbacks all week long without mentioning one of the backup quarterbacks, which is that's a big week. It's a big week.
Yeah, I happened to run into him where I was at. Wait, that was a wax figure of Freddie Mercury. He looked the same, right?
That was crazy how much those two looked alike. I don't know who was modeling there, but if I'm Mason, that's a huge compliment.
I turned the corner. I was like, whoa, Mason. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome. Mark, hope you missed us.
I watched it for a minute. I commented once and I said, I better not do this.
And then, yeah, it could have got the rails. We would have had a good time, though. We would have had a blast. I want to toss it to you to kick this off. Brendan Sorsby not coming to the NFL. What was your thoughts?
That's an interesting thought. You know, I was wondering if they were going to do this, right? Of holding that against him, which is strange. You think about it. You got two train of thoughts here. You got the NFL basically banning the guy from coming into their league because he bet. Yet everything surrounded the NFL is about betting. Right. So I don't think this is quite over yet. I don't think it's going to benefit him whatsoever. Now, if there was teams on the bubble of whether or not take a chance at him, I don't want that circus coming to town if he is ruled eligible and goes in the supplemental draft. This is obviously the NFL trying to make a statement saying we're not going to deal with anybody betting. I was a little bit surprised. I thought they wouldn't want to deal with the headaches. But if I'm Brendan Sorsby, what do I care? I go back to Texas Tech and make a bunch of money. And if I could probably improve my stock next year. So I don't think he's losing either way.
I don't know. Go ahead, Ray.
You know who we need in the NFL right now?
Who?
We need a renegade like Al Davis who would like fight for Sorsby to get in and actually take him in the supplemental draft. I don't know if there's an owner out there like that anymore. You know, his son Mark is involved with the Raiders, but they're not the same. So I'm kind of with Mark. You know, I think the NFL is trying to put its foot down. It might be hypocritical, but it's their league. And until his lawyer, Jeffrey Kessler, wins in court, they're going to be able to do whatever they want. So, you know, this probably isn't over. I think there's probably a couple more shoes to drop here. But as of right now, he's got an uphill climb to get into the league. And as you know, the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking. It's also the first time that I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers should not go after Brendan Sorsby, simply because, I mean, the supplemental draft most likely isn't going to happen. Just like you said, it's an uphill climb. If it does, I'll be surprised. I think a lot of other people might be surprised. If he does enter the 2027 draft, I think we've hit a point where the Brendan Sorsby thing was very interesting this summer, less interesting a year from now, because you have guys who may have the same upside if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, but come with way less baggage. And I get a year removed from it. Time heals all wounds. And the NFL, look at professional sports, love to forget anything except for if you are a good player. But if you're the Steelers, you could avoid this. And I think they would have won if they would have went after Brendan Sorsby, because that would have been much more of an understanding on their part that he's maybe not as big of a character risk. But to avoid him as a whole, I think is the move now. You said go back to Texas Tech. Did you guys know he's making $5.2 roughly $1 million that he does not have to pay back?
Yeah, why does he even care, right? That's what I'm saying.
What are we doing?
In some weird way, this benefits the Steelers, right? I mean, yes. They probably weren't going to get him, right? I mean, somebody was probably going to put a two in, just, you know, if it was the Jets, whoever it could have been. Now, if he goes back to Texas Tech, has a decent season, has a better season, all of a sudden he jumps into the first round. It pushes other quarterbacks down or gives you more of an option if you're looking to add another quarterback next year when you could probably take on another quarterback with Rodgers and Mason likely gone, then you can. So in some weird way, if you have a draft class of quarterbacks, how it's expected to go, you just add one more to it.
Are we 100% sure he's going to go back to Texas Tech?
No.
Could he go to a professional league?
I think he could go to the UFL, the CFL.
Right.
I think he could just do nothing and just train for a year and come out. But I don't think – I mean, yeah, he adds a name to the class. But do you think Brendan Sorsby is going to actually be a first-round pick next year? Like, or a second-round pick?
If he goes back to Tech and plays well, I don't think if he plays for the – Winnipeg Blue Bombers is going to do much.
But I think that's the most likely outcome is he plays for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or wherever, you know, or the UFL and goes to play for Heinz Ward or something. Like, to me, that's most likely where he's going to end up. And I don't think that you're going to be able to prove anything there to say I'm a second round pick. I think he's now maybe a mid round pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brendan Sorsby never played in the NFL because teams never took a chance on him. You know,
but he has another year to wipe that betting scandal off of his resume, right? Okay, I'm now like 2 years clean, right? So,
yeah, I'm also a year removed from football, though.
But how can they monitor him? Can they monitor him outside the college football and the NFL if he goes to the
True.
CFL? How can they monitor him?
True, true, true. We'll see. We'll see. All right, we'll make a prediction to end this conversation because you guys know I love my predictions here. Would the Steelers go after Brendan Sorsby a year from now? No college. No, we're not guessing on where he ends up a year from now if he entered the draft. Would the Steelers be in on him again?
I would say no.
Oh, I would say no, too.
You already have a little bit of a check mark against him. Now you add another one, really, of him sitting out another year. Plus, I don't know how good he really is. I mean, other than the Cleveland Browns, is there any Northwestern states on the on the schedule that he can prove next year or this year? I mean, I just don't think he's – I think it's a little bit overhyped of the Sorsby just because he's a supplemental pick who showed signs of good, but against Nebraska. You see those Nebraska stats? Oh, my goodness. It was like 4 of 5 for 8 yards or something. He was terrible.
That's bad.
Yeah, Ray, I'm a pretty hard no on this, but 10 months from now, if he is eligible for the draft, you know a lot more about Will Howard. You know a little bit more about Drew Aller. So I wouldn't close the door on it, but, yeah, I think this is, at least for the Steelers, pretty hard no.
Yeah, I think we could put this to bed for probably the last time, at least until –
That is your man crush. So
Brendan Sorsby was the guy. Like, he should have, if he came out, yes, he was the guy. But I had him as the man crush started because before all this came out, I had him as like the third best quarterback in the draft next year.
He bet 40 times when he played in Indiana for Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about an issue.
Yeah. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. It is a problem. And his excuse was, well, I wasn't at any of those games. You weren't 40 times? You weren't at one of those games? Okay. Okay.
We'll see. All he needs is a bad haircut. It'd be Pete Rose.
That's a franchise quarterback right there.
Well, no, I'm not even going to go there.
That's a franchise quarterback. All right, let's pivot here and talk most important players of 2026 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. As we're dubbing them the Mount Rushmore of X-Factors this season, you got guys that mean the most for the Pittsburgh Steelers that can change the entire trajectory, both positive and negatively, for this team in 2026. A team that's hunting for the Super Bowl. Whether or not anybody believes that they're a Super Bowl contender, if you asked Art Rooney or Mike McCarthy or Omar Khan if the Pittsburgh Steelers were a Super Bowl contender, they would tell you yes, and they are preparing as if they are. So to get them there, what are the biggest players? I guess we'll go a little roundtable here, and name some guys that top this list.
Can we just kick out Aaron Rodgers? Because we know how important he's going to mean to the success of this team.
I mean, we
can all say that.
No, I'm joking. Yes, we could end.
And we could probably kick out Mason too because he's.
there you go. You mentioned him.
That's it, dude. When the backup quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers playing in the Super Bowl, they will be the most important player of the season. And then Aaron Rodgers wouldn't even have mattered. So.
Well, you go first. Who's your Mount Rushmore of offensive? Are we going offense, defense, or what are we doing?
I think we got to go both. I think we got to go both.
Go offense first. What's yours?
If we're going offense first? If we're going to go offense first, I know there's an obvious one out there. I think you guys can answer it better than I, so I'll pivot here. And I'm gonna go Michael Pittman Jr. for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's what I was going
to do. Look at Michael Pittman Jr. is the difference between what the Steelers have been trying to accomplish and been very unable to for the last 2 years and having a very good wide receiver room, or at least a very good wide receiver duo in DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, this guy should be the reliable route runner for Aaron Rodgers. I classify Michael Pittman Jr. as just like the really good wide receiver. He's not elite. He does almost nothing elite. He was just born very tall with incredibly good hands, and he's quick. He's not fast. He's just quick. And I think that could be Aaron Rodgers' best friend. He opens everything up for DK Metcalf. I think he opens things up for the running game because you have to move guys outside to cover him and DK. He could play in the slot. To me, he is the biggest missing piece the Steelers needed offensively in 2026, and they got him. I'm going Michael Pittman Jr.
Well, I'm going to have to pivot now. I'll pivot to the wide receiver one. I'm going to say DK Metcalf. He has to be the DK Metcalf that we saw the first 4, 5, 6 games, the difference maker, that guy we saw in London, not London, Ireland. They're in London. We're in France this year. That guy we saw in Ireland to make big plays, the catch and runs, to be the legit $25 million wide receiver, the guy that can go down the field, the guy that can make every catch possible, red zone threat. Now, that's going to be based off of what Michael Pittman and Jeremy Bernard or Roman Wilson as the three can help him out. But I think he needs to turn into that top 10 elite wide receiver that we saw flashes of last year. Let's admit, he didn't have the greatest of seasons last year, but I don't think it was his fault. I just think when you get double covered bracket all the time and you have no other choice, you kind of get frustrated. So I think if DK puts up, 1,200 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns, I think that's something that is very attainable for him. So I'm going with DK.
Yeah, I think, $30 million a year, Mark, he did not live up to that last year. I know I'm like you. There are excuses, for his production being that bad, but he's got to step it up. And I think McCarthy's offense will help him do that. And of course, Pittman will do that. I'm going to go a little bit out of the box here. I'm going to go with left tackle Troy Fa'utanu.
I like it.
I think we all remember what happened in the opener against the Jets last year. Everyone got on Arthur Smith for having Aaron Rodgers get rid of the ball in 1.6 seconds last year. Well, you know why? Because Broderick Jones couldn't protect anyone early in the season. And they were forced to go that route. They had to adapt their offense. Not making excuses for Arthur Smith, but if Troy Fa'utanu can hold down the left side, you get better play on the right side. That 2 seconds goes to 2.5, 2.7. All of a sudden, those plays deep down the field are a little bit more likely to happen. So I know a lot of people aren't thinking, an offensive lineman is an X factor. I think Troy Fa'utanu moving from right to left and being that blindside protector is going to be a big deal for the Steelers this year.
I like that a lot. I think you could toss, honestly, Dylan Cook in there too, because and Spencer Anderson, I think the whole right side, because those guys, I think they're less of an X factor, but if they succeed, I mean, think about how much better this offensive line is if they have two tackles. You know, we could talk, you know, Isaac Seumalo, Spencer Anderson's got big shoes to fill. If they have two tackles, that is a complete game changer. That's the first time they've had two tackles that are reliable since when? Like, honestly,
Smith and Max Starks, maybe?
Yeah, like we're going 10, 15 years. Like, it's a long time since the Steelers have had two reliable tackles. So you could toss Dylan in there too.
I wouldn't even count out Ihonachor quite yet. I know it's going to be a long shot for him to start the season, but if he goes to camp and puts on a show, I'm throwing him in there, man. I think he's that talented, but I think that he has a big uphill climb to get to that. I think he's more of an October guy you see getting slotted in at the right tackle spot more than a September 13th guy.
Where do you – or who do you see as, like, the swing tackle offense, the jumbo offensive lineman? Who's the new Spencer Anderson, at least heading into camp? Obviously, things could change.
I don't think they're going to use any jumbo, are they, Ray? I don't believe so. I don't think that's the plan. But you're talking about just a swing tackle?
Yeah, yeah.
My issue is Broderick Jones right now. Obviously, he's out there, and he's the guy that you would circle to be that man. I don't know how he does not start training camp on the pup list just to cover your rear end, be honest with you. And once you get to that point, you just never do know. So it's Broderick Jones right now if he's healthy enough. If not, I guess you can do Spencer Anderson in the pinch if Hoffman make – or I don't think Dunker will do it, but if Hoffman wins the right guard position. I mean, the depth there is a little suspect behind number one and two. It would probably be Ihonachor, I would think now. I know I think about it out loud.
I mean, previous coaching staff, how did they like to bring up their young guys? Hey, let's see if you can do this extra tackle stuff first. We'll get you onto the field. We'll see how you perform. And then when you're ready, you're going to be the starter. So, listen, if James Campen has a similar philosophy to, you know, the previous offensive line coaches, it very well might be Max Ihonachor. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I think that's actually a good way to sort of introduce guys to the NFL, and especially guys you're looking to get their feet wet. I think that's the perfect way to do it.
All right. So should we go defense? We're going defense next for these X factors. All right. I'll start with a real, maybe simple one. Maybe nobody else thought about this one. Sebastian Joseph Day. I mean, if the Steelers have a real nose tackle, I like Keanu Benton. I don't want anybody to take this as I'm an anti-Keanu Benton guy. I think Keanu's got great production, also great upside. This guy is still developing. I like Keanu. The Steelers haven't been able to stop the run successfully in the middle of their defensive line in a long time. And Sebastian Joseph Day comes in here to be a true nose tackle. The first true nose tackle they've had since Javon Hargraves, probably, because Tyson Alualu played it, but that wasn't his natural position. He just subbed in where they had a role and made the most out of it in the second half of his career. To have that big body in the middle that could stuff the run, that could actually play there, I like YA Black, but I don't think he's ready for that yet. I think that's a game changer. I think what it can do to help Derek Harmon and Cam Hayward, and again, I think that there will be a lot of sub package. I don't expect a nose tackle to be out there 50% of the time. But to not have to worry about that anymore, because you constantly saw it get taken advantage of last season and even the year before that, I think is a difference maker. So to me, Sebastian Joseph Day brings just a whole new level of play to the nose tackle position, which is, you know, people have variances of importance there, but to me is something the Steelers needed.
Plus, he's BFFs with Mike Tyson. So
yeah, which is so crazy to me that he just hosted the Mike Tyson podcast. Have you ever watched the Mike Tyson podcast?
I watched like one of them.
It's called like Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson or something.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think I like Sebastian Joseph Day. I think he's very – there's so many people I could pick on defense right now. I mean, T.J. Watt needs to step it up to his caliber of play he had 2-3 years ago. Joey Porter has to continue to play like he has. I think Peyton Wilson's a huge, huge question mark in the middle, who could turn into something very special. I still think that can happen, but I'm going to go with my guy, Jaquan Brisker. I think he's just so valuable at what he's going to be able to do. He's motivated. He's only making $5 million. He probably thinks he got pretty much screwed out of some cash. So he has to take that 1 year prove it deal, coming home, playing in front of his hometown fans to prove that he is one of those upper echelon safeties. And honestly, I mean, you're Deshaun Elliott, we know how good he is, but he had a terrible injury last year, man. And he ripped that hamstring in half off the bone, had that whatever it was nasty. And I don't know how healthy he is. He probably will be healthy, but Brisker, I think, is going to be able to cover, play in the slot, play at the box, play deep, do a little blitz. He can. He led the, you know, Brisker led the Bears in sacks his rookie year. I mean, the guy can do everything.
Really?
I think it was only four, but whatever. We don't need to bring that up.
Still impressive for a safety.
But, yeah, I like Brisker. I think he just brings a different dynamic to this defense that they've been missing back there. So I like the guy. Big year for Brisker.
It was four sacks his rookie year. That's an impressive number for a safety. Is four sacks, one interception, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery, and 104 tackles. It's a good rookie year.
I mean, I just watched that Rams game last year. What was that, the playoff game? He was just everywhere. Absolutely did basically everything. And it's like, I don't know how that guy did not get a – I don't know how he's 1 year with the Steelers for like $5 million. That's crazy.
No, I agree. Ray, who you got? Anybody left, Caboli just named like 12 guys.
I'll pick one, though.
I know they're not the same position, just to riff off Kaboom a little bit here, but Steelers haven't had a guy like that in the secondary since Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton was a playmaker at the line of scrimmage. I know he was a slot, and Brisker's listed as a safety, but you could see Brisker up close to the line of scrimmage and wreaking a lot of havoc like Mike Hilton did back in the day when he was younger. For me, this is more of a future pick because I think it'll have long-term implications on this roster and the salary cap. And I can't believe we're saying this about paying another defender, but Peyton Wilson. I mean, if Peyton Wilson, this is his year. This is his contract year. If he has a great year and he proves he can thrive in Patrick Graham's defense, they're going to have to pay another defender. And I know inside linebacker is, you know, you're not going to get as much as an edge or, you know, even a defensive end. But this is a big year for Peyton Wilson, and he is their best playmaker in the middle of that defense. I know Patrick Queen's making all the money, but if you look at how much he's around the ball, fumble recoveries, strips, interceptions, having to cover – running backs out of the backfield, having to cover tight ends sometimes. I mean, he's put in a lot of different situations, and you know, sometimes he comes through, sometimes he doesn't, but I'm really been impressed with how much he's around the football and how much turnover production he's had in his first 2 years. So that's someone I want to see in Patrick Graham's defense. If he has a great year, I think he's going to make a boatload of money either here or somewhere else next year.
Payne Wilson to me could be the biggest X factor for the Steelers defense as a whole, because I like Patrick Queen. I think Patrick Queen is a starting linebacker on 32 teams. And I think he's a linebacker one in Pittsburgh. Like, I think he played fine. I think the first half of last year, he was possibly the best guy on their defense. But if Peyton Wilson could be the next evolution of that, because you're going to have to pay an inside linebacker, or at least find one, that puts you in a much more secure place than the Steelers, again, have been in a long time. Like, there's a lot of turnover. I understand that it was a weird transition period the last couple of years, but inside linebacker is another one where think of the guys that have come through Pittsburgh over the last 5 years at inside linebacker.
Five. Dressing Shazier, right?
Exactly. It's just crazy. Yeah. And how long, what was Shazier? 8 years ago?
16. Was that 16?
Yeah. 15? 10 years ago?
No, 17.
17, 9 years ago.
And Joe Schobert and
Miles Brennan twice. Michael Walker. You know, the names have been crazy.
Jonathan Bostic. Yeah.
Oh my! I forgot about Jonathan Bostic.
Well, who was the guy they grabbed from the Rams and Mark Barron?
Oh, Mark Barron. See, to have that guy to finally sign a second contract at inside linebacker, that's
you remember him last year. I'm talking about Wilson in training camp. He was a different guy. He jumped off the page really quickly with just the way he was playing, the way he just how much of a leader he looked like. And it didn't really translate fully into the regular season. He had spurts and bursts of greatness, but he just needs to be more collective here. No pun intended.
I agree. No,
he needs to be a little bit more reliable, if I can say that. Yeah. And I think he has all the talent in the world. But yeah, he's a big one. He is definitely a big one.
Yeah, I agree. We got a couple minutes here. Let's do some coaches here. Let's do some assistant coaches for the Steelers. Oh, this one's tough. I mean, there's the obvious ones, but there's just so many. There's so many coaches. I'll toss maybe one that might get overlooked. KJ Henry. Or not KJ Henry. He's the outside linebacker. Yeah. Henry Adams. Henry, why am I blanking on the same?
What position?
Their wide receiver coach.
Now you're having me all confused.
Oh my gosh, guys, we look so unprofessional right now.
From Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, whose name is Henry Adam Henry? Okay, I was just saying it backwards. Henry Adams.
Yeah, Henry had me
Henry Adams sounds like he signed the Constitution or something.
That's what I'm saying. And I thought it was the other way around. And that sounds like a defensive tackle somewhere, or like a pro wrestler, one of the two. So to me, it's not Michael Pittman Jr. It's not DK Metcalf. You don't have to code. You don't have to really do much with those guys. They're professionals. They know how to play wide receiver. How much better does Roman Wilson get this year? Does he stop just looking good in June and May? And does he look good in September and October? And how much can you develop Jeremy Bernard, and can you make him the next guy? Because the Steelers have two good wide receivers. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show. If you only have two good wide receivers and DK Metcalf misses four games at the end of the year, you're left with one wide receiver, which is what you went through last year. And if it's the most important time of the year, you're in a ton of trouble. You need to be able to develop the two guys behind them. They need to be reliable wide receiver threes and wide receiver fours. I think Jeremy definitely has that potential right off the bat. Something's got to give with Roman at some point, right? Like unless he's just really bad, I think he's got to at least be able to play wide receiver four, but you have to be able to make him reliable. You have to be able to make him a trustworthy receiver for Aaron Rodgers, professional, as they said last year. Can he do it? I think that's a huge task that's kind of being overlooked because of the Michael Pittman Jr. and Jeremy picks. Is like, oh, they got new guys. Yeah, they did. And if somebody gets hurt, is Jeremy Bernard good enough to play, and is Roman Wilson good enough to be the next guy? So to me, it's KJ Henry, Adam Henry, Henry Adams, whatever.
I'm going to go with
– I think me and Ray is going to agree on this, so maybe I should just have you speak for me, Ray.
Okay, I'll go first, but you could double down with me. I think we're going the same direction.
Of course we are.
How about – I'm going to go with an energy guy, and I don't think there could be more of a contrast between – this new position coach and the position coach he replaced, and that's Doma Petko. Huge difference between – Carl Dunbar was a pro, but he was laid back, man. And if there was ever a reason to make a change, and I know it happened because of Tomlin, but that defensive line room, to me, needs some spark, needs some energy. And just listening to Petko talk that one day, we got to talk to him down at the down at the indoor complex, man. He just he's got a ton of energy, and I love it. I think that'll be good for Cam. Obviously, great for the young guys, Derek Harmon, Keanu Benton. I think they need somebody like that coaching that position.
Plus, he's been there, done that. The only thing I worry about him, Ray, is there's not much resume there in terms of coaching.
Yeah, but it's D-line. I mean, you got to teach him the technique, and, you got to know the X's and O's a little bit. But to me, that's like a receiver, receiver's coach. It's not that it's unimportant, but you just got to be able to get through to those guys and teach them a few things. I think Petko is a really good fit for this defense.
I see. I'm always wrong. I mean, we're close. I'm going to the other side. How can't you say Campy? James Campen. That offensive line needs to take that one step forward. They can't be like they did the last two or three years and have a slow start or a slow finish. They can't build up to it. They have to jump out of the gate quickly. Right. And they got guys who have been around now 3 years, and McCormick, Frazier, Fatano's been, what, a couple of 2 years now, and they got some younger guys. So I think his ability to get those guys game ready quickly and take that next step right away is imperative to this entire offense. I mean, I guess we could say McCarthy, right? Because he's going to be calling plays.
Yeah, McCarthy's an easy one.
But I'm going with Campy. Campy, let's see if all the praise that's heaped on him by Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, and everybody else you talk to is legit, because he got some talent. I mean, Frazier, McCormick, Fatanu, Ihonichor, you can go across the board. Tons of talent, tons of draft capital tied up in those guys. Now is the time to be able to put that on the field. So I'm going Campy.
I will say the guy that he's one of the coaches I'm most excited to see what happens with his players. I'm also very excited to watch the progress of Jari Evans, because that guy, it just excites me to have a potential Hall of Fame finalist on a coaching staff. Like, what can he teach guys? You know, and I like to hear what he could, because that's a fun story to watch. So he's a guy that's on my radar. Hey,
here's a quiet one in the background a little bit, is Jason Simmons. I mean, True. He very well could have been a defensive coordinator. They brought him in to interview for the defensive coordinator position, knowing that Patrick Graham was going to be the guy, just trying to get him here to talk to him and try to get him over here. A lot of people talk highly of what he's been able to do in the past game and stuff like that. So he's low-key important, I think, too.
Yeah, yeah. I like Jason Simmons. All right. With that, that's everything on our agenda. We're going to take a quick break on the other side of it. We'll start answering your questions, so toss them in the chat. First, we got a quick word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app, and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your players, set your lineups, and watch. You'll pick more or less on individual stats, or you can pick winner spreads or totals. Plus, Prize Picks operates in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. Fun one here once again. Switching it up. Rico Dowdle. Ooh. With over or more 4.5 rushing touchdowns, and DK Metcalf more than 5.5 receiving touchdowns in 2026. I'll kick it off by saying, Rico, lock me in. This is the power back in Pittsburgh this year. 5 touchdowns should come easy. DK, I don't know about that one.
Ooh. Rico, I mean, they want to be a power team. Everything that they've done in the offseason says be a power team, power running team. So Dowdle seems like a lock to me. I'm going over with Metcalf, just for the fact that I think the red zone, you remember him last year in training camp in the red zone. I think he caught a touchdown every single play. So if they get there, I think Rodgers is going to focus on him a lot too. But Pittman puts a little bit of a question mark in there if he's going to take any of those away. But I'm going over with Metcalf.
I like it.
If your $30 million a year receiver cannot get 6 touchdowns, you are a failure as an offensive coordinator. As a play caller, take the over on that
one. What about your $20 million wide receiver?
Well, him too. He can get 4 or 5. He can't
have 6. What about your $12 million tight end and your $13 million tight end?
Using our promo code HMA, or by clicking the link, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right, shout out to Prize Picks. Before we get going here, hit that like and subscribe button. I think we're at 870, something like that.
Nothing's happened. Everybody's on vacation.
52 people. Everybody hit the like button. Let's get there. Let's get to 1,000. Big things at 1,000. I think Caboli has to go one whole episode talking about nothing but why Mason Rudolph should only be QB3 if we hit 1,000. I think that should be the punishment.
We should make some kind of bet if he doesn't make the team, which I
feel like that's you know, how much do I agree with you? How much am I busting you? That's where my money would come into play. I'd have a hard time, you know, I'd have a hard time making that bet.
You people act like Mason Rudolph is like the second coming of like Bobby Brister or who am I thinking? Landry Jones or something.
Hey. Landry Jones was a reliable backup for 4 years or something.
Remember when he interviewed that one time with us and everybody he talked to, he turned around? So somebody behind him, he turned and you just saw the back of his head with all the cameras.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right,
Bobby won two Super Bowls, Kabil. So
yeah, how many snaps did he take during that?
Chris Oladokun also won two Super Bowls. So yeah, let's get things kicking here. With Kaboom, does the Sorsby news mean that Rudolph is safe now?
In my opinion, and I might be the only one here, he's always been safe.
I put in your 53-man roster prediction today that he's
a million times. If you're approaching the offseason like they did, I don't care what Will Howard and Drew Allard does against Buffalo, Green Bay, and whoever they play in the preseason. I want the guy that's at least been there, done that, who started, 15, 16 games, 20 games in his career to get me over the hump if I need him in there for a game or two. Sorry.
Been there and done what? What did he do in Chicago last
year? What he do in Chicago, right? Like, it was his fault that the guy lined up wrong. Not his fault. Plus, Chicago turned out to be a pretty doggone good team on the road. Very well could have beat him. What do you
think about beat those teams?
Who got him to the playoffs the year before that, those three final games, right?
Huh? That was Mason.
It's 2 years before.
Seattle and whoever else.
There comes a point in time where you have to play for the future, Mark. And that's Mason next year. Rudolph is not part of the future.
That's next year. Worry about the future next year.
But you can't talk up Will Howard the entire offseason and then cut him.
Yes, I agree with that. I just think that goes back.
I'm still in the minority of saying keeping four. So I don't want to cut Will Howard either. But if you have to, say, hey, Will.
Where are you finding a roster spot for that? I think the most likely outcome is, a little ankle injury or something. Okay,
let me ask you a question. Would you rather keep Will Howard on the roster if it comes down to it, or Ezi Atuwaimo, or whatever his name is, 53 on the roster?
I mean, yeah, I hear that. I do hear that. But what does – my thing is – and I'm not making the argument, for Will, but Will will only have to prove that he's a capable quarterback to win the job. And, that's not difficult to do in training camp. And it shouldn't be difficult to do against, the Carolina Panthers backups. So, to me, if he's not good enough to look – decent during all of this, then yeah, he should be gone. But what are the odds that's going to happen?
Aaron Rodgers been hurt two of the last 3 years. So you're assuming he's going to make it through 17 games unscathed? No. If I need to have him play in Chicago, I want Mason Rudolph in Chicago.
Okay.
Me, I want to find out about the future. That's just
And we can do that next year, right?
KGK is for life. Who's the best player that you have ever seen play in the NFL? Wow. Let's say, yeah, not obviously
in the NFL.
Yeah. Let's not go all time. You know what I mean? I'm talking, let's talk guys we actually saw, were able to witness play in the NFL.
Can we just narrow it to Steelers?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to say Antonio Brown. There's nobody ever close to him, in my opinion. The guy was just amazing in everything he did. He did those 6 straight years of just fabulous. What do you have? 120 catches, 1,000 yards. He almost had 2,000 yards that 1 year. Antonio Brown, I think, is the best Steeler I've ever seen play in my 20 whatever since I started covering the team.
Wow. Ray, I'm interested in yours, too.
Yeah, I mean, if we just want to go the guys we covered, I mean – just looking back, what a privilege it was just to watch those killer bees, right? AB, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, Martavis Bryant. I mean, you want to talk about great receivers talent. Martavis Bryant probably had more talent than AB. He just had some off-field issues where he could never get right. The greatest play I've ever seen made was made by Martavis Bryant in that playoff game against Cincinnati.
True.
Won a cup in his rear end.
One with the Bucs.
I mean, that play should go down in history as one of the best catches in NFL playoff history. I mean, it was that good.
Just think now, Ray, if he was in the league right now, they don't even test people for pot.
Oh, I know.
True.
I know.
And true. He got suspended and whatever.
Yeah.
Weird for how time changes, right?
I know. But guys that I've covered, I'll go Ben. I mean, Ben was, you know, however you want to slice it, he's probably a top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. I'm sure even his detractors would put him in the top 15. You could make the argument between Bradshaw and Ben and Steelers lore. You know, I'd probably go with Bradshaw just because of the Super Bowls. But, I mean, Ben was unreal. If you go Ben from, like, 2013 to 2018 before the injury, five or six of the best years you'll ever see from an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's so tough for me. I think I have the worst list of all you guys because I got Ben for the last 2 years. You know, I showed up the day after his elbow gave out. So I got bad time. I never got AB.
And who started that? Who started after that?
Mason. Okay. Yeah, until he was benched for Duck. But we don't
have to let him. He got benched. Earl Thomas took his head off in ball against Baltimore.
And there was no stretcher for the poor guy.
There's no stretcher, which is still wild to me. Still, it's
no
most unspoken situation of all time.
What did Thomas say? I don't concern myself with carts and that or something.
Yeah. I think I got to go with like maybe a boring answer, but I think I got to go TJ. On my list, it's got to be TJ. Like, in the last 7 years, I don't think there's anybody else even close. Like, Ben was still good, but Ben was not Ben by the end of it. Haven't had a running back. Haven't had a great wide receiver. It's TJ. It's like easily, that's such a boring answer, but mine's got
to
be TJ.
So many. I mean, even go back to the Hines Wards, the Alan Faneca. Alan Faneca was an absolute stud if you watched him play from the beginning. I mean, just guys like that. I mean, Hayward has to be up in there too. He should be up there on.
Yeah, Hayward's probably number two on the list. And then Minka's probably number three. I don't have a good list, guys. I don't have a good list. I showed up.
Where's Ross Cockrell on your list?
I went through. Justin Lane. That was a great time. That was the first rookie I ever was told to hype up. That was wrong. So, yeah. Yeah, it's been a great time. Let me tell you, it's been a fun journey. Nate Moore, can Patrick Graham, he corrected himself here, shape the Steelers into a top five defense? His defensive rankings have never been great, but he gets a lot of praise. That is true. Patrick Graham's never had, I think his highest rated defense is 13, maybe 15, something like that. But he's also never worked with a team like the Steelers.
Yeah, that's the big key there, man. Has he ever had this type of talent? I mean, the talent across this defense is unmatched around the league. I mean, as a whole. So if it's not now, it's never. Sometimes those rankings can be misleading. You know, okay, you give up yards. I don't care about yards. Give me points. Where are you ranking points allowed? That's where it is. So, I mean, he is a very smart individual, and you could tell that he knows what he's talking about. People speak highly of him. Now he finally has that talent. Let's see if he can do it. So that's the way I look at it.
And you say yards don't matter, but they were 27th in the NFL. At some point, those yards do matter. So I'd say going from 27th to 5th would be awesome. I'd settle for top 10. If you can get them top 10, top 12, and McCarthy does his thing on offense, I think they'll be right in it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting is top 10. Like if you could be right around that 10 mark, anywhere from 8, even to 12, I think 12 is a good place. That's an opportunity to – that's a defense that could win games, that could win playoff games, that can beat the Lamar Jacksons and the Joe Burrows and the Josh Allens in these big moments where you don't have to worry about the defense being the weak link of the group. But that's also the best argument with this, Ray, is – the offense has to match that, if not be better. Like this can't be a team for years. It was the defense is going to win. The offense isn't going to lose. And now it's the offense has to win the games and the defense has to make sure that the offense can win those games. And the offense has to match that. So can Aaron Rodgers or DK Metcalf or all those guys figure that out? Can Mike McCarthy do it? I don't know. But that's also, it's the first time in a long time they've had a coach that could probably get them there. Wheel hard.
I wonder who he likes. It's quarterback. Oh, I wonder why he doesn't like Mason.
If we win one playoff game, who is not on the team next year? Aaron Rodgers excluded, and why? If the Steelers win one playoff game,
I would go Ramsey. I'd go Queen. Gone.
Yeah, I'd go.
Probably Benton at this time if they don't sign him. He would probably be gone.
Did Benton's contract go up? This is total sidebar here, but did Benton's contract go up with Jeffrey Simmons signing a $100 million deal?
I don't think those two are in the same ballpark.
Right? Me neither, but did the four, you know what I mean? Did everybody raise at the same time? Is that? I don't know
what his market value is. Where you look at it, it's crazy numbers. I wouldn't pay him that. I mean, Boat Track has him at 25 mil.
That's crazy. That's Jalen Carter money.
I know it's crazy. Like, yeah, there's people would be gone. I'm just trying to think here. Mostly Queen and Ramsey are the two off the top of my head.
Yeah, I would say Queen definitely. I mean, just because of their history with Charles Woodson transitioning to safety and doing it well with the Packers late in his career, I can kind of keep open the possibility for Jalen to do it if he wants to come back on a lower contract. But yeah, I think we're on the right track with all those guys.
How many playoff games do the Steelers need to win for Cam to? No, Cam will come back no matter what.
No, no, I don't know, man. If they have a 6-11 season,
no, yeah, that's a different story.
I can see them moving on from a whole heck of a lot of people.
Me too.
Started me too. Me Cam too. Being one of them, maybe
DJ being one of them.
Maybe, you know, Elliott, Queen, Ramsey. They do got to pay some of these offensive linemen. So
that's true. I don't know. I don't think that's very likely, but we will see. I think you guys named all the guys that I think anybody else would be maybe a stretch or like a note. Like, I don't know, Roman Wilson. Can I toss that name out there? Is that
Broderick Jones, you know?
Who?
Broderick, yeah.
Oh, Broderick Jones. That's an easy one, though. Mark, I said that Rodgers is going to be the starting quarterback in 2027 last week, and Ray looked at me like I had 10 heads.
Did you really?
I said I don't. I'm not ready to believe the retirement talk yet. No.
He's 42, 22 years in the league.
And if the Steelers
$1 billion in salary, he might be a billionaire.
He's definitely a billionaire. He's definitely very close to it. Very close to it. All right. Well, as long as you two are in agreement, then I can't. Then I'm wrong. I'll admit that I'm wrong. Quick 201, Noah. Thank you so much. Is there any
that one right? Yeah.
Okay. Look at me. I'm just saying, man of the people. Is there any JPJ news? How much does he go for? Things are quiet right now, but truthfully, the second Omar Khan got the phone call that Brandon Sorsby wasn't coming to the NFL, he just turned, put his phone down, leaned back in his chair in like the Caribbean or something, and enjoyed his day. That's what he did. So there's nothing going on right now.
He's on the beach next week. So
that's what I'm saying. There's not any news really this time of year. And most of these guys, like, it's not like I think right now people get worried. It's like, oh, it's quiet. What's the delay? There's no delay. There's just not conversations happening at the same pace that they were happening. They slow down pretty significantly, and they'll pick back up closer to training camp.
Yeah, but we did see Ramsey get traded last year around this time.
We did.
We did see Jeffrey Simmons get in contract. We saw today Atlanta tight end. Help me out.
Oh, Pitts.
Pitts get signed today. So there's some news. But at this point, come talk to me July 27th. Then we'll stick it up, right? I mean, that's what it is, JPJ.
We'll yeah. Talk to them.
Yeah, it's going to be $25-30 million a year. And is it going to be the first week of camp, last week of camp, 2 days before the regular season. That's what everyone wants to
know. You know what it is. It's guaranteed money. Those $25 million means jack.
Yes.
Give me, were you giving me those first 2 years? Yeah. Right? First 3 years, something like that. And I, what is the highest guaranteed money to give to? Probably Watt, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Watt would have been. Yeah, what did Watt get? 120? No, 104?
Yeah, 2 years guaranteed, I believe. So I'm sure that's where they're looking at, the JPJ guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying right around that $27 million range somewhere. And yeah, it comes down to the guarantee. Wheel Howard, hot take. Benton will end up being a top 10 defensive lineman when he finally gets his position. He can rush and read passes. His interception 2 years ago on a screen was brilliant. And then I think he said, no, that's a different question. Top 10 defense. Is this the next Javon Hargrave situation?
Well, he is out of position, right, Ray?
Out of position. Yeah, he is definitely out of position.
Tomlin's just too hard-headed to put him where he belongs, I believe. If the Steelers are able to move him where he needs to play, like the Hargrave, what is it, Ray? 3-eye?
4-eye more. Come on.
my fault.
He's not top 10, although, I mean, Hargrave at the time, he got paid like a top 10. He came out of his shell and made a ton of money after he left here. But I don't think Benton is that guy. I mean, listen, if Benton moves to three technique full time and he gets 7-8 sacks this year, he's going to make a ton of money if he doesn't make it here. He just is.
That's true. I'm not the make sure you lock up Keanu Benton guy. That's just not me. To me, you already signed one backup that's hopeful to be a future starter. I think you did it twice with Darnell Washington. Do you do it a third time with Keanu Benton? That's just too much to me. You have Sebastian Joseph Day, you have YA Black. That's a big telling point to me too, is Peko said a lot of very glowing things about Keanu Benton, but a lot of very glowing things about YA Black and what he can be as a nose tackle, which is what they need. And plus, just like Mark said a little while ago, if they're 6-11 and, you know, Cam's gone next year, Keanu should be gone too. Like, it means that
you wouldn't move him to the outside?
Keanu? I would.
Put him where Cam is and say bye to Cam?
I would, but if you win 6-11, you don't think Keanu's part of the problem too? Like, you don't think that it's just time to say maybe we don't pay somebody $22 million when our defense wasn't that good last year?
Is there anybody that they signed or who didn't they didn't sign that you like, they probably should have signed because they didn't have enough money? Seems like they always find places.
Oh, they have the money.
Pay who they need to pay or who they want to pay.
They always have the money. Do you guys know what would TJ's restructure would add?
Was it 8 to 10?
Nick Bosa's added like $25 million. I don't know how they did it, but Nick Bosa signed a deal that was less than TJ. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how any of that works.
Yeah, I haven't really looked into it.
I don't know. You guys are better.
Well, that's what they would have to do. I mean, they're going to have to restructure him.
They got
to
restructure him anyways. There's no, like, what are you signing Joey with? The $2.5 million that you have right now?
Omar finds a way, man.
There are always ways. There are so many ways, and they'll figure it out, and they'll do it. We'll see. All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. Before you head out of here, hit that like and subscribe button. We're going to get to 1,000, and we're going to get to 1,000 quick. Appreciate you guys, as always. We'll be back next week. Find us always on youtube.com/Steelers Collective or anywhere you get your podcasts. Until then, enjoy another beautiful day in the burg.